So I am so thankful to be able to stand before you this morning. My name is Todd. I'm the student minister here at Harmony Hill. Pastor John is away on much-deserved vacation. So this morning, if you want to go ahead and grab your LifePoint outline, we're going to be looking in the book of Proverbs, continuing the series Wisdom for Today. And in fact, the chapter and verse I want you to go to in Proverbs to start out is Proverbs 28, 26. Proverbs 28, 26. I've titled this sermon, Wisdom, the Ultimate Life Hack. So how many of you are familiar with that term, life hack? A number of us. So for some of us, we may not know what a life hack is. It's just this newfangled term for trying to make something easier, a strategy to make something easier or more beneficial. And so I've got a couple of examples from the somewhat helpful to the absolute ridiculous. You can just Google life hacks, and these are just a small sampling. But I've got a couple of pictures. Let's look at this first one. So cut open toilet paper rolls and use as a cuff to save your wrapping paper and keep it from unrolling. That's a pretty good one, right? Like, okay, I could see maybe doing that. You just kind of make a little slit in the toilet paper roll and put it on the wrapping paper, and then it's not going crazy at Christmas, right? Let's look at the next one. How about this one? You got a container that can't get into a sink. You put the dishpan in such a position that it then flows out through the handle into the bucket. That's a life hack. That's making things easier on yourself. That's pretty smart. I like that. All right, now we move into a little bit more of the absurd. I don't know. So instead of a fire alarm or smoke detector, you could put a Jiffy Pop, and if it gets too hot, you'll know because you got popcorn and a little snack as you make your emergency exit. All right, how about this next one? There you go. You need a little snack. You got a lot of work to do. Just turn the hoodie on backwards. Instant bowl. All right. And then the last one, I think we've all been here. The instant TV tray that you don't even have to lean up too far on. So I hope to not see many of you trying that. But if you do, take a picture. So life hacks. This is this idea of how do we go about life. How do we go about life using strategies that will help us and make things ultimately easier? And what I don't mean by easier is the easiest path, but in the long run, without the most collateral damage on our life. I think one of the most often questions, not probably the most asked question that I get as a student pastor, but well up there is, how do I make decisions? How do I make big decisions? You know, I work with students, and so a lot of these decisions are coming around the time of things like the big ones. You know, what school am I going to go to? Should I even go to school? Should I go to the military? What should I major in? Then it's questions of, you know, sixth grade boys, you know, have I met the woman I'm going to marry? And it's like, you know, probably not. And, you know, it's just all these questions. But what I have also discovered is that these questions and this quest to understand how do I make good, wise decisions is not limited to just students, is it? You and I each are having decisions that we have to make. There's financial decisions, there's family decisions, there's time investment decisions. Should we purchase this? Should we move here? Should I hire this person? Should I do this? How do I deal, what do I do with my time now that I'm retired? You know, all these things. How do I set up, you know, my estate for my family? You know, all these questions. And if I haven't stressed you out enough, I think that there is at least some counsel from the Proverbs in how do we make wise decisions. So if you have gotten to Proverbs 28, 26, let's read it here. It says this: the one who trusts in himself is a fool, but one who walks in wisdom will be safe. Let me read that one more time. The one who trusts in himself is a fool, but one who walks in wisdom will be safe. I don't think any of us walk into this room or into life or into any critical decision thinking to ourselves, you know what, I would love to be labeled a fool after I make this decision? We all want to make good decisions, wise decisions. And so one of the most helpful questions that has ever been shown to me, and it's such a simple question for some of you, this is going to be just a reminder question. For others, this may be kind of groundbreaking like it was for me, but I read a book by author and pastor Andy Stanley called Ask It. And in it, he teases out this question. So I'm just kind of, spoiler alert, giving you the question. But it is this. Here's the key question. If you don't remember anything else, this could be huge for your life. What is the wise thing for me to do in this situation? If we can just train ourselves to ask that question, what is the wise thing for me to do in this situation? We can save ourselves so much heartache, so much ruin, so much relational disaster, so much spiritual consequence, if we would just stop and ask this key question. Now, we can talk a lot about wisdom, but I want to kind of have an operating definition. I don't want to get it confused with what I'm talking about today as just common sense. There's wisdom, there's common sense, right? Maybe this would be illustrated by the just the insane thing that has happened over the last week. Our Lufkin PD, our finest, did an amazing work. The nation was looking to us to solve the issue of the Lufkin liquor. Right? I mean, I don't know about you, but if you've not heard the story, there was an individual who opened at a Walmart, pulled out a container of Blue Bell, popped the lid off, licked it, put it back in the freezer. When I saw that story earlier in the week, I thought, oh man, that is crazy. And then as things began to develop, it was our Walmart that this happened in. And I thought, well, that was just a fun, cutesy story when it was somebody else's Walmart. But this is our Walmart. So let me just ask you, in this whole scenario, there is kind of the decency, which is don't lick ice cream and put it back in the freezer, right? Then there's the common sense that says even if you're going to do something that incredibly idiotic, don't video it and post it on the internet. And then there is wisdom, which says, go home and check your Blue Bell and make sure that it was sealed correctly after reading a story like that, right? Like, we understand the difference between common sense, decency, and wisdom. But what I want us to focus on just for today, there's a lot of ways you can define wisdom, but for our purposes this morning, I want us to look at it this way. It's right there in your life point outline. Wisdom is the knowledge and ability to make biblical decisions. Wisdom is the knowledge and ability to make biblical decisions. I think that is what we want. We don't want just human wisdom. Pastor John talked about the error of that several weeks ago when he was looking at Solomon. We want biblical wisdom. In the passage we read, it said to trust in ourselves is to be a fool. In general, there's three types of fools mentioned in the book of Proverbs, none of which we want to be, I would think. The first one is just the simpleton. This is kind of the one that Pastor John Richardson mentioned last week. This is he who kind of goes in ignorance and makes poor decisions. Then there is the fool proper, which is the person who knows right from wrong and chooses wrong over and over and over again. The proverb says it's like a dog that keeps returning back to its vomit. I know what's right, but I just keep going back to the wrong. And then there is the mocker who comes out and he not only knows right from wrong, but he mocks and scorns those who seek to do right. I don't think any of us want to be in any three of those categories of the fool. And so the counter for that in our text is that if you don't want to be a fool, a mocker, or a simpleton, then walk in wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? Well, last week, Pastor John Richardson kind of walked us through the fact that wisdom was personified in Jesus Christ, and so wisdom is something that we pursue from the Word made flesh. He is wisdom. And so in order for us to make wise decisions, we have to have knowledge and then the ability to act so that we can live and make biblical decisions. So let me do this. How do we make, I want to be very practical this morning, wisdom-based decision making. So number one, if we're going to make wisdom-based decisions, we have to hack the firewalls that prevent wise decision making. We have to hack the firewalls that prevent wise decision making. So I use this term, you know, the ultimate life hack, and the word hack is kind of, you're more familiar probably like the hacker, like computer hacker, the one that sends you like the, I'm the princess from, you know, Africa and send me money and they try to get a new computer and all that kind of stuff. Same process. They, you know, like every movie or television show that we watch and there's, you know, with technology involved, there's always some character that's clacking away at the keyboard and they're spouting off what they're doing, and then finally someone in every single one of these goes, English, right? Because they're talking in all the tech jargon, and then they go, I'm busting through the firewall. And it's like, this is the thing preventing us to get to where we want to be. And so if wisdom is where we want to be, we have to hack through some firewalls. Number one would be some personal firewalls. You and I can be our own worst enemy when it comes to making wise decisions. I know I am my own worst enemy when it comes to making wise decisions. For instance, I've left a couple of blanks there that you can, these are just a couple of examples of how we do this. Number one is pride. Pride. In Proverbs it says, pride comes before what? A fall. Many of us know that, whether you grew up in church or not, it's kind of a phrase that has made its way into popular culture. Pride comes before a fall, and yet pride is one of the most hard or difficult things to detect in our own selves. Why would I go and seek counsel or seek wisdom? Because I can control this. I can make a good decision. I know I, Todd Kaur, has made a lot of poor decisions where I didn't ask the question, what is the wise thing for me to do in this situation, because I just thought I knew. I could do it on my own. I can make my own way. Pride. Another personal firewall we've got to get through is the fact that sometimes we've already made up our mind before we even ask the question, what is the wise thing for me to do in this situation? I don't know another way to put it. There's probably a better word for this, but I mean, it's just the idea that I might ask some people, but in my heart, I already know what I want to do, and you're not really going to be able to convince me otherwise. Many of us, we were this, but we probably saw it more clearly as parents, right? You see a child, and you're trying to impart wisdom to them, but they've already made up in their heart the way that they're going to go. For instance, maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend, a dating situation. It's like, I don't know if this is the wisest person or this group of friends. I don't know if this is the wisest group for you to be running with. But they have already made up in their mind what they're going to do. And it prevents them from walking in wisdom. It prevents us from walking in wisdom when we are not willing to stop and say, well, what is the wise thing to do here? I know what I want to do, but what's the wise thing to do? How about this one? Sometimes we are just embarrassed to ask for help. Embarrassed to ask other people for what the wise thing to do might be. We think it is, and again, this is very closely connected to pride, because we feel like, I feel like they would feel like I should know what to do here. I'm an upstanding, you know, man or woman in the community. I run a successful business, or I'm, you know, a respected teacher, you know, whatever it may be. I'm a leader in the church. I teach a small group. How could I ask other people for wisdom on something that I should probably be able to figure out myself? Let me give you an example of how this can go horribly wrong. So, several years ago, I'd been raking and raking and raking all these leaves in the yard. And I mean, it was just an unbelievable amount of leaves. And it's one of those situations where at the end of it, I'm looking at this massive pile of leaves and going, we don't even have one tree in our yard. How is this possible? And it's starting to get late in the day, and I'm thinking, oh, I do not want to bag this up, but if I don't bag it up today, then I'm going to not be able to do it for several days, and it's going to make a huge dead spot in the middle of the, you know, all these things. And so my wife says, well, why don't you just burn the pile? So earlier we talked about common sense and wisdom. Here's something I've learned about myself. I have no common sense when it comes to leaves, gasoline, and fire. Because I thought, wow, this is, yo, yeah, that's great. Let's do that. And so, you know, get the gasoline all over the place and thought, all right, let's do this thing. Leaned over to light it. I mean, like, blew me backwards. I was like, just like, oh, I still have my eyebrows. This is a miracle. It was such a loud noise. And maybe it was the explosion or from me, but something so loud that out of the bowels of the house, Jennifer came running outside. I was like, are you okay? And it's just, you know, this fire, right? I knew there was a moment when I was about to light that fire. I'm just totally honest. There was a moment when I was about to light that fire that I thought, I don't know what I'm doing. I could be responsible for the Great Fire of Lufkin 2015. Like, but I was embarrassed to ask. And it literally blew up in my face. And fortunately, it was not worse. Can I just say that that's the point of this proverb? To trust in ourselves is to be a fool, but to walk in wisdom is to be safe. And so some of you are just glad you're not my neighbors when you're in leaf season. How about this one? Personal bias. Personal bias. And what I mean by this is when we come to a decision and there is something within us that makes us want to yield, whatever it is, makes us want to yield towards one decision versus the other. This sort of came up for me not that long ago. I was having to make a pretty big decision, and I felt like I knew what the right decision was, but there was something in me that I didn't want to make that decision because I had a personal interest in the opposite decision. And I wrestled. Even though I knew I should go this way, there was something in me that was like, it actually is more gain to me if I go this way, but I know this is right. You ever felt that way? So sometimes we have to expose our own personal bias. And so what I ended up doing is I went to a friend and said, here is the decision before me. I feel like I know what the right thing to do is, and here is, I'm just going to tell you, this is my personal bias and why this is being hard. This is hard for me. Will you help me walk through? Because I don't want to make it based on what could be a personal gain to me. And just seeking wisdom and how to make the right decision without just falling towards personal bias. The second firewall that prevents wise decision making is arduous firewalls. Let's be honest. Arduous is just a fancy word for difficult. Let's be honest. Sometimes we don't make the wise decision because it would be the harder path to go, the harder decision to make. Sometimes we don't make the wise decision because we know that it would be easier to not make the wise decision. It might be more difficult. It might be unpopular. If I make the wise decision, I might have to go against the flow of my family, my culture, and I'm not sure that I want to deal with it. These are difficult. How about this one? Sometimes it is difficult because it is not between good and evil. It's between good and best. You don't have to do this, but if I were to ask the question, how many of you struggle with saying no when people ask you to do things? Many of us would raise her hand because I asked you to do it, right? It's like, yes, I have a hard time saying no. And you know what? Sometimes even between not good and evil, not every question is, should I make a satanic sacrifice or go to church, right? Like, that's a pretty easy one. Sometimes it's, I'm already committed to this, and somebody from the church or somebody from the community or somebody from my kid's school asked me to do this also, and I don't want to say no. They're both good things. Neither one is evil, but what is the wise thing for me to do in this situation with only 24 hours in a day? And this stresses us. It is difficult. It is hard. Sometimes it's the arduous task, as I mentioned, that it's not going to be popular. Let's be honest. Brother John is so great at making the connection between our culture and biblical decisions that we have to make that would be difficult or upstream from culture, doesn't he? And yet, we sometimes struggle to make those wise, obedient moves from his sermons and from our, you know, our small group lessons because it is hard. But again, the fool rejects counsel. The fool trusts in himself, but the wise will walk in safety. Let's move forward to number two. So we have to be aware of some of these things that might prevent us from making wise decisions, hack through, you know, ourselves and what might be difficult. But two, we've got to figure out, what do we tap into? What's the process to make a wise decision? So number two, log into the source code of wise decision making. Now, I'm looking back here and I see Chris Smith, and I'm sure there's others in here who are computer geniuses. I am not one, nor the son of one. But I do understand that source code is basically that code that makes everything else work. And if the God of the universe created you, me, and this universe, don't you think we ought to go to him to find out what the best wise ways to live? So we've got to log into that. Number A here would be, Scripture reveals the principles of wise living. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Some of you could quote this. It's the passage says, do not what? Lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. Basically, again, it's the same way of saying the same thing. You trust in yourself, it's a foolish, it's fool's gold. But lean on him. In all your ways, lean on him. So how does this work? So principles. So when I think about, like, when I'm talking to my students about, especially as they get into college and maybe young adulthood, and they do begin to start thinking through that question of, who should I marry? Brother John talked about this not that long ago. Many of us would love it. And maybe you've even explored. You're like, you know what? I know I've been a believer for a long time, but I've never actually read the book of Leviticus. Maybe it's in there who I should marry. And you're just like, and Toddeth shall marrieth Jennifer. Yes! It is not in there. You still should read Leviticus, but it's not in there for that. But here's a principle from Scripture. Do not be unequally yoked. That's pretty much your guidance. Do not be unequally yoked. And so then you can filter it through the rest of the things we're going to talk about, but that's a starting place. Am I going to engage in a relationship with this young man or this young lady, whatever it is? Am I going to give counsel to my children, my grandchildren in this? Don't be unequally yoked. If they are not chasing after Jesus, then they're not for you. And we live in the Bible Belt, so I would even say to be extra clear with the instructions to our children and grandchildren, not just that they claim the name of Christian. That's not good enough anymore because that's cheap language. Are they chasing after Jesus? If they're chasing after Jesus, that's someone that you should date. That's an available option. Now, whether they want to date you back, that's a whole nother ball game, but that's the basis. How about this? In B, we're kind of moving through, starting with Scripture, them to be. Other believers provide wise counsel that either affirms or corrects our decision. Other believers provide wise counsel that either affirms or corrects our direction. One of the reasons that here on the Hill, we encourage you once every 7 days to be in worship and to be part of a life group and to be part of the discipleship network is for many, for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons would be this, that when you have major decisions in your life, that you can go and seek counsel from other believers. And I want to make it very explicit to seek counsel from other believers. Don't flip open, you know, I don't even know if this is still in there, but flip open the page or on an app looking at horoscopes. That's not wisdom. Don't call 1-800 madam whatever. That's not wisdom. I'm giving some absurdity, but I'm also saying this. The coworker who does not honor the Lord, do not go to them for advice. You get what comes out of the heart. If they're not honoring the Lord, then that's not wisdom that you can trust in the same way. There have been a lot of bad decisions made by Christians who went to non-believers seeking advice. Let me even just say this. You can't even just flip on the television to any old person with a Bible in their hand and trust that as Christian advice. This is why it is important that you have flesh and bone people that you and I can touch on a week-to-week basis to go, here's what's going on. What do you guys think? This is what I feel like the Word has kind of given me the parameters. What do you guys see? And they can either help affirm that you're on the right track with the scriptural principles, or they can help correct it. Again, we can go at ourselves and be fools, or we can walk in wisdom and be safe. C, life experience can provide helpful data points. I will say, I said may and some, because we don't want to discount our life experience, but sometimes God calls us to things that trump our life experience. For instance, I think about some of the couples who have been in our fellowship that are now overseas, maybe serving in areas that are not safe for believers to be. At some point, they probably sought advice, and there may have been good-intentioned people that said, are you going to take your kids over there? Or, you know, are you sure? There's some other places. Have you, you know, we need some more churches in, you know, the Northwest, and we do, you know, in America. You know, all these kind of things. Data points from other people are helpful. Oftentimes, we can learn a lot from someone who learned the hard way and already paid that price, so that we don't have to pay it, right? There's probably a lot of people in this room especially that you've learned some stuff the hard way, right? And there's a part of you that you just want to pour out into younger generations and go, you don't have to make the same mistakes. I've already paid that price. Glean this wisdom and walk. But data points, we can take life experience, we can take, you know, other factors into place. One way that this would be a factor would be this. You're getting ready to make a big decision on a purchase, whether it's a home or something like that. You need to take a life data point into play. How much money do we have? What is my earning power? You know, what is the market right now? Like, those are things that also need to be weighed into the wisdom. What is the wise thing to do in this situation? The banks will help you with that, don't worry. Then D, the Holy Spirit guides the entire process and gifts us with either peace or a troubled spirit regarding our decision. Amen. I don't want to overlook this or take this lightly, because this has been one of the most important factors in my own journey as a believer in Jesus Christ for making decisions. After I have looked at the word, I have sought counsel from others, began to look at some of the other data points that need to be factored in. I will make a decision, and then I will sit on it and ask God, will you give me peace or give me unrest if I have made the wrong decision? In the book, it's there in your notes, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. In this prayer that Paul is encouraging people to pray, he says, with everything, take everything to the Father, and let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, settle upon you. Just a real brief story about that. When I graduated seminary in Fort Worth and was beginning the interview process, and different people were, you know, asking about us and all these kind of things. And I needed a job. My wife was definitely like, you need a job. And it was a hard journey, it was a weird journey, but there were two times that a church offered me the position and God would not give me a peace about it. I said, before I call them back, God, give me a peace. You know I need a job. And there was just a stirring. I mean, I could not get away from it, and I called back. I'm sorry, I don't have a peace about that. Same thing happened. We'd met the people. My wife, you know, just has this mercy, so she'd connected really with the people. They offered us a position, prayed about it. Lord, give me a peace. Nothing. And I was like, Lord, you know I need a job. We cannot stay in seminary housing past X date. Called, said no. Began a phone conversation with the church in Columbus, Mississippi. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not making it. This is not hoodoo voodoo. This is the Holy Spirit. We had our first phone interview. They had not even offered me the job, and a peace of God settled over me that said, this is it. A couple other churches called, wanted to know if I wanted an interview. They've still not offered me a job. I said, no, I know. They called. I said, Lord, is this it? Give me a peace that surpasses understanding. A peace settled over me, and we made the move to Mississippi. A similar process took us here. I'm just saying, don't discount the peace or the turmoil. I love how it is stated. It is a peace that surpasses understanding. You could even say a peace that surpasses circumstances. And here's what I've also understood. When I've had that peace, when I made the decision, even if things went more difficult, I knew I'd made the right decision. Does that make sense? Sometimes when we hit a difficulty after making a big decision, we think, oh, I guess I made the wrong decision. No. God had a purpose and a plan, and I had the peace, and I know I made the right decision. And so I go back to that confirmation that the Spirit of God put on me. Does anybody resonate with that? Amen. Amen. This is the path of wisdom. What is the wise thing in this situation? The principles of Scripture, wise counsel, gather the data points, but then let the Holy Spirit put the final, you know, payment of peace on your life before you make that. Let me give you just real quick, and I'm not going to go into these very much. Relational arenas. These are examples. I'll just give them to you real quick. Relational, spiritual, and practical. These are arenas that you and I can practice making wise decisions. You and I can make wise decisions. So last little illustrations. You know, it was mentioned on the announcements earlier. On tomorrow, we take 77 people to middle school camp. And so you have every right to question whether I have the right to preach a sermon on making wise decisions by doing that. But we're going to go tomorrow, and it makes me think about students and making wise decisions. And several years back, this was before I was here, we took a group of students to camp, and we were going to be swimming, and we had given caution to all these students. Hey, put on sunscreen. It's going to be hot. The sun is just blazing out here. So we even had ladies out there just spraying people as they walked out the door, just trying to make sure that they were taking heed of this wisdom of put on sunscreen. Well, at the end of the first day, a young little middle school boy named Will walks up to me. And he's like, man, I'm not feeling too good. And I was like, what's going on? He's like, I think I got a little sunburn. I was like, let me see. And so he pulled back his shirt, and I was like, whoa! Because it was not just red, it was blister. And I was like, dude, did you put on sunscreen? And he said to me, no, sir, I wanted to get a tan. I said, Will, we've been talking about over and over. How did you avoid all the moms out there in the spray line? He's like, I went out another door. I mean, he's intentionally making these decisions. I was like, what about when we called everybody for like after lunch? Like, hey, don't forget, reapply. He was like, I wanted a tan, Mr. Todd. And he's got this just massive sun blister. I thought about putting a picture up there, but I like my job. That young man's journey over the next couple of days was horrific as he continued to make middle school decisions, which were put on, you know, a t-shirt, which was fine, which was great, and then proceed, and I apologize for this, the graphic nature, but then to pop the blister. And then that blister became one with not only his body, but the shirt that he did not take off for the next 3 days. And then he got home, and fortunately his mom was on that trip, so that was on her as well. They soaked him in a tub for like 6 hours with the shirt on to try to remove the shirt. If I haven't gotten into your visual mind yet about how it is, I'll just stop there. And some of you said, hey, man. But let me say this. When you and I refuse to walk in wisdom, biblical wisdom, we are just as foolish, and we should not be surprised when we end up with spiritual sun blisters that make our journey incredibly difficult. And so my task, my goal, my charge to you is right here at the end. This is the invitation, step of obedience. Run at least one decision this week through what is the wise decision for me in this situation. What does the Bible say about it? Who do I need to bring in that's a believer? What data points? And then how can I ask the Holy Spirit to give me peace about what I'm doing? If we can begin to make that part of our journey, we truly will have wisdom for today.